This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. Again, we're glad you've tuned us in. Now, we've come to the first weekend of January 2015. And if you're like me, you'll probably write 2014 on your checkbooks and on other important documents for quite a while because it's difficult to think about a new year and to get out of the groove of what's happened in the old year. But this is a particularly good time each year to take a little inventory and to think a little bit about where we've been and where we're going. Now, we've been studying important personal scriptures that are helpful to young believers and some of us who are older, and they're on my website. And for those of you who have gone to my website and have downloaded them or looked at them, I just want you to know that I'm going to come back and finish the last two or three that we have not covered in 2014, because we've talked a little about Christmas and we're going to talk a little about New Year's today, but we will continue those. So if you'd like to contact me, or if you'd like to see those important personal scriptures, go to my website, bdcministries.faithhub.com, and you can see them there. You can re-listen to this program there. I'll give you that address again at the close of the program. But today, I want to think a little about the new year. It's really not a new year. We know that our calendar is somewhat arbitrary with regard to the setting of the date of the new year. We do know that the way in which the sun, or the earth, revolves around the sun does create our seasons and our years, but we probably could have started the new year almost anywhere. As a matter of fact, with the Jews, they have a religious new year that starts with their being redeemed out of Israel. And back in Exodus, they were told that this month would be unto them the beginning of months, and they start their year there. It's my understanding they also have another calendar where the new year starts on another date, but their religious calendar would start there. But we start our new year on January 1st in the dead of winter, right after Christmas, and we have usually a celebration on New Year's Eve, the last night of the old year, as we bring in the new year. And then for those who are ready to relax and who want to be passive in their entertainment, it's my understanding that New Year's Day usually involves watching some kind of sports event, and I think it's football, but because I'm not really into those things, you'll have to bear with me if I've got that wrong. But anyway, these are things that we do, but I'm interested in the fact that in Revelation 1 and verse 8, the Lord presents himself as the Alpha and Omega. He says, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Now, we've looked last time as we were thinking about Christmas, we looked at the names and titles of the Lord Jesus. I don't think we spent a lot of time on a couple I would like to have spent time on. One was Emmanuel, which is God with us. We know that when we look at the name of the Lord Jesus and we think of his name as Jesus, that's the name that brings us into fellowship with God. It saves. The Lord came as a Savior. He was going to save his people from their sins. And so we're brought into fellowship with God. We get to be with God because of the Lord coming as a Savior. That is, we get to be with him if we accept the fact that as sinners we need him. And then Emmanuel means that he came to be with us. And I realize that the name Emmanuel, God with us, is indicative of the fact that he came to be with us in this world. But when we receive Christ, we also are told in Ephesians that we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And we're told in 1 Corinthians 6 that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So he comes to dwell within us individually as well when we trust him. He's our Emmanuel. But he should be our Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the ever-existing one. But I've been thinking about this Alpha and Omega. Now, you would understand that Alpha is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So what we're saying is he's the A to Z. Our language cannot fully encompass him. And I think, in a sense, we're saying figuratively here that the language would, if we were to use all of the language that's available to us, we still would not fully describe the majesty and the glory of this one who came as a babe to Bethlehem's manger, who grew up and went to a cross, an old rugged cross, and died for our sins. For those of us who are saved, we are reminded of that old song that says, "Hark, I hear the dull blow of the hammer swung low, they're nailing my Lord to the tree. And the cross they upraise as the multitude gaze at the blessed Lamb of dark Calvary." Oh, it bows down the heart and the teardrops will start when in memory that gray hill I see, for 'twas there on its side went a man forth to die, to suffer for you and for me. And so for those of us who are saved, he means everything, and language cannot fully express our thanksgiving. Language cannot fully express his glory. But he's also the beginning and the end. And so when we look at this new year, is he going to be part of our beginning of a new year? Is he part of our lives? Is he the beginning and the end of everything we do, everything we think about? Does he have that important place in our lives? When we come to Genesis 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And I like to stop with the period in another place. I like to say, "In the beginning, God." And really, if we live our lives without acknowledging the fact that in the beginning, there was a God. In the beginning, God had us in mind. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If we live our lives without acknowledging the one who made us and who loves us and who wants us as his bride, life is pointless and life is empty. I know many people who tell us that we can't know who God is. We can't know if there is a God. And by virtue of them standing there and communicating with us in a body that they did not make themselves, but that God made for them, just astounds me when I think of the self-satisfied attitude of many people. It isn't God who is the beginning and the end. It isn't the Lord Jesus who's the beginning and the end. It's the big I. That's the beginning of and the end. Sometimes I say we worship another Trinity, not the, not God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We worship another Trinity. It's me, myself, and I. And we're taught from the beginning that we have to make up our own minds, and we have to allow people to make their own mistakes, and we act like we go through life without anyone being there to guide us, and obviously I don't agree with that. I think that if God, and he did create us, if God brought us into this world, surely he wants to guide us through this world, and he wants to be that friend that sticks closer than a brother. But he knows we've sinned and that we are self-centered, and so he has provided for us by going not just to a manger, but by going to a cross. And then he has provided for us and proven he has provided for us by being raised from the dead. That empty tomb is evidence of the fact that this Lord is who he claimed to be, and a satisfied God. And we are told that he's coming again. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. So when it comes to our relationship with God and when it comes to our life, he should be all-encompassing. And as I've said, living life without him is meaningless in my mind. And we should recognize that when we trust him, life really does start over. As I mentioned before, when Israel was redeemed, they started their calendar anew. This month shall be a beginning of months unto you. I believe if you read that, you'll find it in Exodus 12. And when he saves us, life begins anew. And that's why he says in John 3, you must be born again. And that's why I emphasize that over and over again. And that's why I quote from 1 Peter, which says, being born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And friend, if you've never experienced that joy and peace and relief that comes with trusting Christ and having your sins forgiven and being given a second chance to live for God. The first one we corrupted by our first birth, but the second one is our second birth, and we have, in a sense, a second chance to be able to glorify God. And if you've never experienced that, I want to tell you, you've missed out on the whole purpose of life, because God, the Lord Jesus, is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the one who is and who was and who is to come. He is the Almighty, and he wants to become your Savior, your friend. He wants to become the one that you love. He doesn't want you to be self-centered. He wants you to be have your life centered around him. He should be the first one you think about in the morning. He should be the last thing that you think about in the evening. And there are some people who are living so close to him and so convinced that he's coming again that they have a placard, and when they go to bed at night, they have it over their bed and it says, maybe tonight. And in the morning, they flip it over because on the other side, it says, maybe today. And what they're saying is, maybe tonight he will come again. And if he hasn't come during the night, then maybe today he will come again. And friend, people like that recognize that he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and he's the one who gives life purpose, and he's the one who gives us something to look forward to. And I'm so thankful as I grow older that I don't have to assume that this life is all God has to offer me, that in fact this life was just the dress rehearsal for eternity. And I'm thankful for that day in my life when I passed from death into life, when I trusted the Savior and found out that God said, according to his word, that if I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I was saved, and I am delivered from all that this world is going to go through. And for me, he is the Alpha and Omega. And as I look into a new year, I look into it with confidence, because the Lord has never told me what the future holds, with the exception that because he's my Savior, when I pass over to the other side, he's the one who's going to meet me and receive me into glory. I really believe that. Paul writes about that when he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And he was looking forward to the day of his execution, and not to me only, but also to all those who love his appearing. And he was going to appear to Paul. He was going to be his epiphany when he died, and he'll appear to us in that same way. Friend, as we start this new year, I hope he means everything to you. Now, our Heavenly Father, we just pray for thy blessing upon those who are listening and upon this program and upon this new year. Help us to glorify you in it. We give thanks for the Lord Jesus in his precious and worthy name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.